So we've been reading through the prophecies of Ezekiel on Sunday evenings. And for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at chapter 24. The book of Ezekiel falls neatly into two halves. And when we finish chapter 24, God willing tonight, we'll have finished the first half of the book. The second half of the book of Ezekiel is going to be very different from the first half. In fact, I'll be planning to take a break from Ezekiel before we move on to the second half. Why is chapter 24 the turning point of the book? All right, there are 48 chapters, so it is actually the marker for halfway through. But not just that, it is a turning point. As I say, from now on, the book is going to be very different from everything we've had so far. If you've been here for the series so far, you'll know that right up to this point, the book has been leading up to one dreadful event. The event we've already been talking about tonight. The destruction of God's temple in Jerusalem. The destruction of Jerusalem itself. All the way through up to this point, Ezekiel has been saying, "It's going to happen. The temple is going to be destroyed. The city is going to be destroyed. The people are going to be taken into exile, those who survive the great slaughter." Ezekiel's been trying all the way through to bring home to people just how dreadful it will be. He's been showing them again and again why it's going to happen. It's going to happen because they've sinned against God and they've refused to repent again and again and again. We've had 23 chapters preparing for that terrible event. And then finally, here in chapter 24, we finally witness that event. I don't mean that there's a description in chapter 24 of the Babylonians bursting into Jerusalem, slaughtering the citizens of Jerusalem, setting fire to the temple. Ezekiel didn't actually see those events himself. He didn't try to describe them. If you want an eyewitness account of the destruction of Jerusalem, you've got to go to the book of Jeremiah. You won't find it here. What you will find here in Ezekiel 24 is a description of the event in Ezekiel's life which matched the destruction of Jerusalem. The event which God used to show Ezekiel and to show others just what the destruction of the temple meant for the Jewish people and why it had to happen and what God was intending to achieve through it. Do you remember? We did talk about this last week, didn't we? About Ezekiel himself and about the most painful event he ever had to face on a personal level. He had already suffered every imaginable trauma and pain. But then one day, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "I'm going to take the delight of your eyes away at a stroke." And Ezekiel knew what that meant. God was going to strike down Ezekiel's wife. She was going to die. She was the delight of Ezekiel's eyes. She was the one joy, the one comfort, the one security, the one happiness that Ezekiel had left in this world. He'd lost everything else, but now God was going to take away his last earthly happiness. And God said to him, you mustn't show any grief over it. Yes, grieve inwardly, but you mustn't let anyone else see you grieving. You must just carry on as if nothing's happened. The following day, Ezekiel spoke to people in the morning. In the evening, his wife died. And the following morning, he had to carry on just as if nothing had happened. And people were shocked. People were baffled. Because they all knew how much Ezekiel's wife meant to him. And they cottoned on to the fact that this was somehow supposed to be a message, a sign to them. Just like all the other bizarre behavior that they'd seen in Ezekiel. This was supposed to communicate something to them. But they wanted to know what. And Ezekiel has to explain it to them. He says, God is going to do to you just what he's done to me. He's taken away the delight of my eyes. He's going to take away the delight of yours. He's taken away my security. He's going to take away yours. He's taken away the one thing I longed for. He's going to take away the one thing you long for. And I'm not allowed to grieve. And you're not going to be allowed to grieve either. What was he talking about? What was the delight of their eyes that God was going to take away? Well, Ezekiel says he's going to take away your sons and daughters. They're going to be slaughtered. But they're not the delight of your eyes. There's something even more important to you that God is going to take away. What was it? It was the temple. It was that wonderful building that stood in Jerusalem. The building that was supposed to be God's dwelling place. The building that had been God's dwelling place. Oh, these Jewish people, they loved that building so much. They treasured that temple which stood in their capital city, Jerusalem. Because it gave them such a sense of security. They were sure that while they had that holy building, they would always be safe. They would always have God's protection. You know, the people Ezekiel was actually living among and preaching to, they were far away from Jerusalem. They were already in Babylon. But they still dreamed about that temple. They longed to see that temple again. It was the symbol of all their hopes. They were sure they would see it again. But now Ezekiel was telling them that they would never see it again. God was going to strike that temple down just as he had struck Ezekiel's wife down. Just as God had taken away the delight of Ezekiel's eyes, God would take away the one thing they loved most, the one thing they depended on most. And there in Babylon, they wouldn't be allowed to mourn. They might be utterly traumatized. They would feel utterly bereaved once the temple was destroyed. But they wouldn't be allowed to mourn. The Babylonians wouldn't let them take time out to mourn. Remember what we saw in Psalm 137? the Babylonian slave drivers, the tormentors, saying, come on, stop this stupid weeping. Come on, let's hear some happy songs. The Babylonians would stop these folk from mourning. But in the end, the reason why was because God didn't want them mourning. It was God who had struck down Jerusalem, and God wasn't going to let them cry over it. Now, last week, we asked two questions. Firstly, why did God strike down Ezekiel's wife? Now, that's a dangerous question to ask, because we never know all the reasons why God does the things he does. God very rarely explains his reasons for doing anything, and we can't know everything that's in God's mind. But we do know one reason why God took Ezekiel's wife away, don't we? It was to bring Ezekiel closer to himself. We can say that much for sure, because the Bible says that that's what God intends whenever he takes from believers things that they value. The Bible says that whenever God brings pain into the lives of his people, it's to bring them closer to himself. He takes away the things we lean on so that we'll lean more on him. He takes away the things in which we find happiness so that we're forced to look to him alone for happiness. He takes away the things in which we find security, so that we'll know that our only real security is the Lord himself. He gives us gifts, good gifts, for a time. But in the end, he wants us to look away from the gifts so that we can concentrate on him, the one who gave them in the first place. That's why God took Ezekiel's wife away at a stroke. But then my second question was this: why did God take the temple away from the Israelites? And the answer was, for a very similar reason. While they had that temple, they were never going to repent of their sins and come back to God. They were never going to seek God with all their heart, because for them, the temple had taken the place of God himself. Just look at chapter 24 and verse 25. And you see there what the temple had become for the Israelites. This is what the Lord says to Ezekiel: as for you, son of man, surely on the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire. That's what the temple had become to them. It was their stronghold. It wasn't a fortified building, a fortress, but for them it was their stronghold, because it was the one thing that gave them a sense of safety. They were sure that while they had that temple, nobody could touch them, and disaster would never overtake them. They were sure that they were shielded by the temple from every danger. even from the danger of God himself. That Ezekiel was giving them these warnings about God's judgment, about the dreadful things that could happen to them as punishment for their sins, and they were shrugging off those warnings because they thought, it's not going to happen. While we've got the temple, we're safe. The temple had been, instead of the temple being a place where they would seek God, the temple had become a place where they could shield themselves from God and from God's judgments. It had become their stronghold. They weren't seeking security in God. They were seeking security from the temple. And then it was their joy. It was the one thing that gave them a thrill. The one thing that filled them with happiness and excitement. We've got that glorious, beautiful temple. They were really proud to show foreigners around the temple because it was so beautiful and it was so spectacular. Just the fact that it was there, even when they were hundreds of miles away from it, it still gave them a thrill of joy. Their joy wasn't in God. They weren't rejoicing in the fact that there's a God of beauty and holiness and wisdom and truth. They were more interested in the temple. It was their glory. It was the one thing they boasted about. It was the one thing that made them feel special. Other nations might have bigger armies. Other nations might have more brilliant scientists. But we've got the temple, they said. They weren't interested in the God who was supposed to dwell in the temple. They weren't interested in knowing him. They weren't interested in pleasing him, in obeying his commands. Oh, but they boasted about the fact that they had his temple. It was the delight of their eyes. Just as Ezekiel loved to see his wife and to admire his wife, just as he dreamed of his wife when she wasn't there, that was the way they were about the temple. It was their soul's desire. They didn't desire God, but they desired the temple. These people far away in Babylon, if people said to them, so what do you miss most? What would you most love to see again? The temple. For them, the temple was their stronghold and their joy and their glory and the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire. There is only one thing that we human beings are supposed to have as our stronghold, and that is God himself. That is where we are supposed to find our security. Our safety in life and death in God. There's only one thing we're supposed to have as our joy, and that is God himself. Only one thing is our glory, and that is God. Only one thing is the delight of our hearts, God himself. But these people had lost touch with God. God had given these people the temple, and it had taken his place in their heart and lives. They were ignoring God. They were disobeying God. They were grieving God. But it didn't bother them, because they still had the temple. And the temple, as far as they were concerned, gave them security and happiness. These people treasured the temple the way that Ezekiel treasured his wife. Except that for them it had become a sinful delight in the temple. The temple was like a marriage partner for them. It had become to them something as all delightful as Ezekiel's wife was to him. The temple was there propping them up emotionally and in every other way, just as Ezekiel's wife had propped him up. But the temple was never supposed to be a marriage partner for the Israelites. Remember, the Lord himself was supposed to be their marriage partner. The Lord himself was their husband, the delight of their eyes. He was supposed to be their stronghold and their glory and their joy and their soul's delight. When you realize what had happened, it's horrible. They had taken something wonderful, something marvelous that God had given them, and then they'd made it a substitute for God himself. God had given them an awesome, wonderful gift. When he gave them that temple, the symbol of his own presence among them, he was giving them something so precious. That gift should have drawn them to him. That gift should have caused them to love him. It should have become the means by which they sought him and worshipped him. But instead, the temple had taken his place. And they were loving the temple instead of loving him. So God said, I'm going to take it away. And then maybe they'll start thinking about me. I'll strip away this temple that's become so precious to them. And then maybe when they've got nothing left, when their sons and daughters have been slaughtered, but more importantly, when the security, the comfort, the delight of their heart has been ripped away, then maybe they'll start seeking me again. Now, God still does that. God, in his mercy, God in his grace still does that. There are many people who will confess that when they had their health, when they had their family, when they had that high-flying job, when they had the good things of this world, they never sought God because they were satisfied. They had everything they wanted. Those things took the place that God should have had in their lives. But God took those things away. Maybe he took all those things away. Maybe he had to strip them of their health. He had to strip them of their family. He had to strip them of their career. He had to strip them of their possessions. Maybe he had to strip everything away from them. And that's what it took before they would start seeking him. It's a high-risk strategy, but it's a strategy that God does use. It doesn't always work. There are some people who, when God strips these things away from them, it just drives them further away from him. There are some people who become locked in self-pity. They spend the rest of their lives just crying over what they've lost. just full of self-pity because they used to have this and it's gone, and they used to have that and it's gone. There are some people who are locked into bitterness when God does that. They spend the rest of their life raging against God, saying it's not fair, saying he had no right to do it. There are some people who just spend the rest of their life in pointless questions. They keep asking why. Why has it happened? Why has it happened? Why has it happened? But they refuse to listen to the answers. And they refuse to listen to the obvious answer. That God has taken these things away because they were distracting. Because those things were distracting them from God. The fact is that left to themselves, very few people react in the way God wants them to react. God wants people to understand why he's taken away the things that they treasured. God wants them to admit that they put those things in his place. God wants them to admit that those things were too important to them. God wants them to admit that they loved those things instead of loving him. God wants them to repent of their ingratitude and their idolatry. Because that's what it is. That they've taken a created thing and they've worshipped it instead of the creator. They've taken a gift from God and they've worshipped it instead of the giver. Well, he wants them to repent of that. And he wants them to turn to him. And he wants them to seek their happiness from him. He wants them to realize that everything else, anyone else, is temporary, can't be depended on. He wants them to see that if they're going to have a stronghold, a joy, a glory, a lasting delight, that it's got to be him himself. That's how God wants people to react when he takes away their precious things from them. But left to themselves, very few people do. And that's why it was so important that Ezekiel was there with these people. So that they wouldn't be left to themselves. This is what the Lord said to Ezekiel, verse 25. As for you, son of man, surely on the day when I take from them their stronghold, their joy and glory, the delight of their eyes and their soul's desire, and also their sons and daughters, on that day a fugitive will come to you to report to you the news. When Jerusalem falls, a fugitive will travel from the burning city to this camp where Ezekiel is in exile. May take some weeks for him to arrive, but he'll arrive with the news, and he'll come straight to Ezekiel, and he'll report to Ezekiel what's happened. And on that day, your mouth will be opened, says the Lord to Ezekiel. For much of his ministry, Ezekiel has had this strange condition where he's not been able to speak. He's only been able to open his mouth and speak when the Lord actually has a message for him to deliver. But on that day he will have a message to deliver. Because he'll be able to speak to that fugitive, and then he'll be able to speak to the people. He'll no longer be mute. And he'll be able to tell them what this means. And he'll be able to remind them of what he himself experienced. he's going to be able to say to these people, you remember how the Lord took my wife away from me? Well, now the Lord has taken the delight of your heart away from you. You remember, I didn't grieve. The Lord didn't let me grieve. And you shouldn't be grieving now. Yes, the temple has gone, but you shouldn't be grieving. Because the temple had become for you a distraction. It had become for you a hindrance. It had become for you a sinful idol. You've got nothing to grieve about if the Lord's taken it away. The Lord took my wife away so that I would be brought closer to him. And the Lord has taken that temple away from you so that you will turn to him now in your distress. Ezekiel is qualified to preach to these people as nobody else could, because he's learned that God's justice and God's hard providences are God's mercies. He knows what it means. He's learned it in his own experience. And now he can preach it to these people when the news comes to them that they've finally been stripped of the one thing they delighted in. He can tell them why God has done this. You will be assigned to them, and they will know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel's going to be able to say to these people, God has done this because he wants you to know him. He wants you to know who he really is. You've been living with an imaginary God, a God whom you had conjured up from your own imagination, a God who didn't care about sin, a God who would always let you off the hook. A God who would never punish you, providing you had a temple. You've been living with that imaginary God. Well, you can't any longer. Because now God has shown himself. God has taken away the temple that was the center of your delusion. God wants you to know him as he really is. Ezekiel, you'll be assigned to them. And they will know that I am the Lord. Why did God take away Ezekiel's wife? So that Ezekiel would know God as he really is. So that he would know him in a closer, more intimate way than he ever had done. Why did God take away the temple from the Israelites? So that they would know him. So that they would know him as he really is. So that they would know his character. When I was preparing for tonight, I went back through these first 24 chapters of Ezekiel, and I noted down all the times when the Lord declares, I do this so that you will know that I'm the Lord, or I do this so that they will know that I'm the Lord. What the Lord was working towards always in all these different events that we've read about from Ezekiel's life, all the events that were happening on the world scene, he was doing it so that his people would know that he was the Lord. I thought I might read all those verses to you. I'm not going to. Chapter 5, verse 13. Chapter 5, verse 17. Chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 13. Verse 14. Chapter 7, verse 4. Chapter 7, verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 27. Chapter 11, verse 10. Chapter 11, verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 15. Chapter 12, verse 16. Chapter 12, verse 20. Chapter 13, verse 9. Chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 21. Chapter 14, verse 8. Chapter 15, verse 7. Chapter 16. Verse 62, chapter 20, verse 20, chapter 20, verse 26, chapter 20, verse 38, chapter 20, verse 42, chapter 20, verse 44, chapter 22, verse 16, chapter 22, verse 22, chapter 23, verse 49. In this chapter, chapter 24, verse 24, and now finally, at the hinge of the book, chapter 24, verse 24, they will know that I'm the Lord. That's what God wanted. He wanted people to know him as he really is. He wanted to show people that he is true to himself and that he doesn't change. And he wanted people who had their own false, delusive ideas of him to abandon those ideas, to know him. This is eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. Ezekiel, in the second half of his book, was going to go on to preach to them about Jesus Christ, the great shepherd king who was going to come. But before he could preach Christ to them, first they had to abandon their false ideas of God. And he took the destruction of the temple to shatter their false view of God. Whatever it is that we've clung to in the place of the real God, we abandon our hopes in the things of this world, even the good things that God has given, and we set our hopes on Jesus, the crucified man who hung on the cross at Calvary and bought sinners by his own blood.